DW, we're glad to have you part of the team. And it's time for us to pray for you. And we'll turn our time over. And I want to give you a little credential. DW is doing a good job.
Amen.
And it's to God be the glory, because DW is nothing of himself. He's failed in a lot of things, but he's succeeding in one thing, and that's surrendering his life daily to the Lord.
Amen.
So we don't want to give DW any glory that he doesn't deserve, other than we're glad that you made good choices. we're proud of you. We are.
Yes.
Yeah. And we love you, right? We love DW as we love everyone here. We love everyone here. Let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, we turn our time over to your servant. We ask that you'll bless DW, help him to share with us some things that will help us to succeed in our goals and our whys and our hows and our whats that we wrote down today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Elder. I'm going to say another prayer. Father, we thank you for the presentations today. We thank you for the word that you've been giving us and each and everything that you are teaching us this day, Father. And we pray for your Holy Spirit to be poured out into this presentation. I pray that you will hide me behind your cross so that we are only going to hear and see Jesus Christ through this presentation. We pray all these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So I want to talk to you about witnessing in today's culture. And here in West Virginia, we have a typically different culture, don't we? And we're going to talk a lot about that with Elder Bailey tomorrow. But one thing, it was interesting, Tony told you all how we met earlier, and it's kind of unfair because now he's not in the room. But one thing that happened was when we met is he would pronounce the towns in West Virginia the wrong way. He would call Hurricane, Hurricane. And I hear a lot of people call Gallipolis, Gallipolis. And, in these towns where these people grow up, that's very important to them, how the name of their town is pronounced. So you can't go saying Hurricane is Hurricane. You can't go around saying St. Albans is St. Albans. And so when we met and we were talking about Mountaineer football, we went back and forth about that because it hurts people a little bit, because that's our dialect here. You see, that's what the town was named. It wasn't named St. Albans. It was named St. Albans. Just like there's a Vienna, West Virginia. All right? And you say it Vienna. Not Vienna. Vienna. So you have to understand. And now I'm not saying there's anything wrong with saying things in proper English. And okay? I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. But you see, if we're here in the mountain state, right, and we're going to go out and we're going to tell others about Jesus, we need to blend in. We got to be a part of this culture here. You see, one of the first things I did when I went down to Point Pleasant, West Virginia, was I found out where the nearest university was, and I went and I bought all their gear. I have a Rio Grande hat, I have a Rio Grande polo, and I started going to their softball and baseball games, which were free, and I started talking to the students, I started talking to the parents, and I started giving out glow tracks, I started giving out my card, because I wanted to start a campus ministries over in Ohio, because the closest church to Point Pleasant in Ohio is an hour away. So we have all this area, you see, because Point Pleasant is more kind of like a commuter church. There's really only one person or two people that are actually from the city of Point Pleasant, actually three now, that we baptized a couple people into the church. You see, when I took the church over, and God began to work very quickly. And in September of 2020, we had 32 members, and it dropped down to 28. A few people had passed away and maybe moved out of the area or transferred. And now, by the grace of God, we have 49 members on our roll. Amen. Amen? And that's happened since September of 2020. And we opened full-time in January 1st of 2021. Amen? Amen? Amen. So that's exciting. So I want to talk. Oh, he went to get me water. That was sweet of him. You missed me talking about our St. Albans and Hurricane. Anyways, That's right, it's hurricane. See, he's getting it, isn't he? Amen? Amen. So witnessing in today's culture, I want to talk about something first. Let's talk about unhealthy expectations. Can you all give me some ideas of maybe some unhealthy expectations? Tony's going to be running with the microphone, so if you want to raise your hand, he'll come around. And so does anybody have... I'm going to give you some big examples in today's culture of unhealthy expectations, but I want to hear from you too.
That everybody's going to accept Jesus.
Amen. And we're going to talk about that. In fact, every lead will be solid is unhealthy. Amen? Amen. So that's the first thing you said, isn't it? And that was the first slide. Every lead will be solid is an unhealthy expectation. Every time you think that somebody's going to accept Jesus is an unhealthy expectation, and they may not be ready for certain truths yet, so we can't go in front of the Holy Spirit. We have to pray for the Holy Spirit to guide our words, because if we don't, we're going to say something we shouldn't too quick, and then we hinder the work of God, and then we're just working for the devil. Next one. Go ahead.
You will expect people just walking our doors. They will not.
What was that?
We expect people come in, walking our doors, but they
we
do
just
not.
Just expect people to walk into our doors.
Yes, we want them to walk into our doors. Well, that's an unhealthy expectation, isn't it, that they're going to walk into our doors. And I'm going to touch base with you on that because I saw at one point, finally, Point Pleasant has grown as big as it's going to grow within the church walls. And what we've been able to do outside of the out into the community. But we're doing something a little bit step further, and I'm going to share that with you a little later in the presentation. Because we do have to meet people where they're at.
Hi, welcome to our church. We are so happy you're here. By the way, here's the great controversy, The Desire of Ages, The Steps to Christ, and some DVDs from Doug Batchelor, and a sermon series from Mark Finley.
Ooh. Wow. It sounds like a pretty friendly church. I'm a little overwhelmed by it, though.
That stuff's
surprising. But friendly churches are good, right? We're going to talk about friendly churches. Because friendly churches actually, I'm going to tell you something, and you're going to look at me really strange when I say this, but friendly churches are terrible. And I'm going to tell you why today.
We have to meet people where they are. We can't go to a non-Christian and expect them to, say you go to a pig farmer and you go tell him that he's not allowed to eat pork right off the bat, or he can't cuss or whatever. You got to meet them where they're at.
Amen. And then they give up the pork. Let them eat chicken for a while. They gave up the alcohol. They gave up the moonshine. Go ahead and let them drink Pepsi for a while. They don't have to start carrot juice today. Amen? Come on. Can I get a witness?
Amen. Amen. So one of my favorites is when you have someone that's off the streets that comes into the church for the first time, and they start following this person like he's a common criminal.
Mercy.
And all of a sudden, you get this tap on your shoulder and say, Pastor, now, did you look at that young man that came today? Did we put the money away already?
Oh, mercy.
And so even though they're not listening to that conversation, they're perceiving our reaction to him or to this person walking around church. If you're going to follow them, embrace them.
Amen.
And if they need to use the restroom, take them to the bathroom. Don't just say, it's down the hallway on your right-hand side, but don't go past the bathroom because then you know, we don't have cameras down there.
So that kind of brings me to the next unhealthy expectation. Every lead, and we'll go ahead and say every church member, will be easy to deal with. That is an unhealthy expectation, isn't it? So this is why we need the Holy Spirit. Give me one, Jim.
Sure. Someone says, I got 3 in-home Bible studies. Wow, how's that working for you? Well, I'm not sure. I just dropped off all 28 beliefs.
Waste of money there.
Daryl.
Daryl, here you go, buddy.
I think it's an unhealthy expectation that we could easily try to work with. that everybody has a Christian background. We are living in a post-Christian
society, right?
Society.
Amen. And we're going to talk about that in this session. You're absolutely right, Daryl. I agree with you 100%.
DW, we got two more.
One thing I've noticed is in some churches, people expect kids to know how to behave in church.
Sure.
And they get annoyed
right.
when they're not. So it's important that, you know, we take care of the kids and teach them little by little.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. And I think there's another one. Is it Pastor Gustavo?
Yeah.
Oh, we can keep them coming. I want this to be engaging. We've got time. Amen? Mm-hmm. We came here to learn. Amen?
One of the things that I see in a lot of our churches is that when we see visitors, we treat them as a number and not a name.
And we're going to get into that too. See, you all are nailing it today. You guys are Bible worker students. Amen?
When we expect new people to become instant super Christians that know scripture like the back of their hand, that can quote Ellen White like nobody's business, instant changes, and it's not going to happen.
Another one in back.
It's unhealthy to believe that we will not face conflicts, especially when we just listened, to Pastor John Kent, you know, when we all come from different backgrounds, and a lot of things are maybe not settled or not dealt with.
Amen. We got another one, Daryl.
I think that we sometimes fall into the assumption that everybody's on board and will understand if we freely refer to the writings of Ellen White throughout our services. I doubt that there's anybody in this room that has any problem with that, personally. But this is a movement you grow into. And I think that as churches, we have to become sensitive to how to bring new people along in relation to understanding the spirit of prophecy.
Amen, and I agree with you on that because, in fact, I'm working with a couple Baptist congregations in Uganda, and now Voice of Prophecy has kind of taken over that. And one's in the Eastern Field Mission of Uganda, and it's in the village of Papal in Tororo. And, in fact, the pastor, his sister-in-law, is a Seventh-day Adventist. And he was on a group online on social media, on Facebook. It was just a pastor's group of many denominations, and he wanted to start doing Bible studies via Zoom for his people because they could not meet in person anymore where they were, so they were meeting at houses, and I started meeting them on Zoom. Well, we met a couple times, and then they agreed that they would go ahead and start meeting with me, but he was apprehensive at first because his sister-in-law would Ellen White this and Ellen White that. And it was a slow process with them. So I would actually use some of her quotes and use some of Charles Spurgeon's quotes that would go hand in hand together. And then they would see that we were just reading everything from the Bible. We were going straight to the Bible, and they've accepted the truth. They're ready to be baptized into the Seventh-day Adventist Church, and by the grace of God, they're going to be. Amen? And so I agree with that statement. Is there any other... anybody else that wants to say an unhealthy expectation?
How about this one? Children should be seen and not heard.
Ooh, amen. They should be. Say that again.
They should be seen and not heard.
Oh, okay.
So sometimes we have our own inside language, and we'll stand up there and say, "Happy Sabbath. We are celebrating this Sabbath." And, you know, the General Conference and the Columbia Union, and we're very happy. And they're like, and then people are like, what is the hymnal? What is the Columbia Union? Where is the General Conference? What is that?
So it's funny you mention that because during a small group study, or maybe it was just I was visiting her in the house. It was a new member of the church. And I gave her the family photo album that you get if you do the spiritual partner form here in the Mountain View Conference and actually explains all that. And she starts looking. She goes, oh, I didn't even know about the conferences and the unions and all. So then I start explaining it to her and how the tithe and the offering works. And you're right. That we do have our own lingo, and that can be very confusing in today's culture, can it? In fact, a lot of times when I would try to, when I was first starting and I didn't have any resources, I didn't really have much help, I was trying to reach out to different online platforms that I would use that were non-Adventist, and sometimes it would be difficult, and they would say, you know, when we try to work with Seventh-day Adventist churches, we have difficulties because of the way that you all are set up and organized and the way that you do things. So a lot of times that's why we work with Adventist companies. Go ahead.
Well, one of the things that I've heard in the past is, and it's not, I don't think they intend to do it, but the way it's said, people that hear it, understand us to say, if you're not a Seventh-day Adventist, you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ.
Mercy. Well, let's talk about some healthy expectations, for they look like this. First of all, 10 on-fire people for Jesus giving Bible studies is a healthy expectation to have. Amen? But an unhealthy expectation is thinking you can get 100 people in your church who are lukewarm to go out and tell others about Jesus, because there will be no excitement, there will be no encouragement, and that church is going to digress over the next 5 years and it's going to die. But the church with the 10 people that are on fire for Jesus, that are going out and giving those Bible studies, within the next 5 years is going to grow and grow and grow, and then they will have 100 people on fire for Christ. We have to have healthy expectations if we're going to tell others about Jesus Christ. You see, people are not looking for friendly churches anymore. They are looking for friendships, real, genuine friendships.
Amen.
They don't want to be a number. They don't care about how friendly your church is. They don't care. They want you to text them. They want you to call them. They want you to visit them. They want you to have a real relationship with them. That means sometimes you're going to have to talk about things that they want to talk about. And they may not be religious things. And you're going to have to listen. And it's going to be hard. And sometimes you're going to have to bite your tongue and keep your mouth shut. Mercy, huh? I'm just going to... Is it okay if I just speak real plain today? I'm not trying to step on anyone's toes. But you see, in the last year and a half, I have seen God perform miracles.
Amen.
And we all can be doing the same thing, because He all has grace for us. So why do we not have grace on others?
Amen.
They want a relationship. They want a family that they can be a part of. Somebody who's going to check on them. Somebody who's going to make sure they're okay when there's a blizzard. Make sure that their electric hasn't went out. To make sure that they're not sick and they don't have COVID-19 or anything else that you could be sick from. People are looking for real, genuine relationships. And that is what Jesus Christ did. Am I right or wrong? Was Jesus not a genuine friend? Isn't He your friend? Then why are we treating people like they're numbers? Seriously, I'm telling you this now because I want to stop something before it ever starts with you lay Bible workers. Because I'm seeing a trend in our church, and it's not bringing people to Jesus. It's turning them away from Jesus. When I went into my first district, when I went into Point Pleasant, and it took me a month and a half of prayer to get the members to come back, because they were told they couldn't be in the church if they ate cheese, and if they weren't vegan, they couldn't be baptized in the church. So my question is, why are we doing this to our people? Why are we allowing the devil to work through us? Let's go to the next slide. Listen, I'm convicted about this myself. You see, I worked for the devil way too long. I worked in the entertainment business. I was a cocaine addict. I ran a professional wrestling company. I played music. For years, I worked for the devil. So when they talk, you see how excited I am about Jesus? It's because I want to do that work for Jesus Christ. I want to save souls for Jesus. I know that I can never make right all the wrong that I did. But I know that Jesus can.
Amen.
So we must duplicate Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen? We must duplicate Jesus Christ.
D.W., can I say something about that? I'm sorry.
Well, I don't know, Daryl. Can you? Or may you? I'm just teasing.
This is a theological point, and it's one that if we don't have it, we need to get it.
Okay.
We are not called to be to have a life like Jesus. We are called to live Jesus' life.
Amen.
And those are two different things. It's not a duplication of Jesus. It's Jesus through the Holy Spirit ministering the very life of Jesus into, Paul says, our mortal flesh.
Sure, and duplication is living like Jesus, Daryl. And that's what we're talking about here, because Jesus is the master servant. You see, Jesus is the one who went out and he served. He made the lame to walk. He caused the blind to see. He's the one out. He went down and he washed the feet of the others. So we have to empty ourselves, and we have to imitate Jesus. We have to be like Jesus, and that is what I mean by duplicating like Jesus.
Very good.
Thank you, Daryl.
I'm not
Thank
saying you.
You
have it wrong. What I'm saying is we could hear
I'm
that
wrong.
I'm not
saying you do either. I'm telling you how excited I am about how we have to be like Jesus. I don't want you to take me wrong here. I get excited. I don't get upset anymore because I have Jesus in my life. Now, I'm not telling you I don't have bad days, because I surely have bad days. Ask Elder Bailey. He has to deal with them.
Over here. I was just going to say, instead of we have to be like Jesus, to mend those two ideas, we will be like Jesus.
Amen.
And with the Spirit, we are like Jesus, and we become more like Jesus as we walk with him. Amen.
But in order to do that, we have to surrender. We can't just talk this talk. You have to walk the walk through the Holy Spirit. We can't. We do too much talking in this church anymore. You see? That's right. Because in Revelation 3, you know what's going on? Jesus Christ is knocking at the door, but he can't get in because there's so much secularism in the church. There's too many people bickering and fighting, and there's not enough grace and love and brotherhood and sisterhood going on in the church. And that is the problem with the culture of the church today.
Amen.
Yes, go ahead.
Hold on.
I love that you keep talking because it's gonna get us to 5 o'clock.
Okay, sorry.
No. You take your time.
So I've been in the church a long time.
Me too. 1995.
Yeah, before you.
well.
Yeah, but anyway, I've just seen a lot of that. What you described—the gospel of cheese and other things that I won't go into, but the thing is, I've noticed it happens a lot to little churches, and I just had a thought when you were talking, and I wanted to share it right away before I forget, is that I wonder if we can develop some kind of intervention for the little churches, because when Victor and I were going through that in Marietta, it was really, we didn't really have any outside help, except one time the conference president in Ohio came down to help us with a disfellowship, but we also had to have the police there. Right.
Mercy.
So I'm just wondering, like, if other churches, like if a little church is having a struggle and a bunch of other churches do an intervention and go to that church to talk to people and just love them and help them out of it, like.
Well, that's really part of the revitalization process.
Yeah, so I'm just wondering, because I've seen it so many times, and it is so painful when it happens.
It is.
It's really, really bad.
It is, and I saw that in Point Pleasant. Go ahead. I know Elder Tim, he's got to say something.
Yeah,
Let me before you get to that, let me just say, if you're only part, and I'm just going to joke, if you're only part of the Mountain View Conference, maybe that wouldn't have happened, right? Oh. No. The Ohio Conference and the Mountain View Conference are partnering with the Marietta Church.
Amen.
We don't know of any other conferences in the entire North American division is doing that. And we love working with Ohio, with Marietta. But I want to share the answer that for our conference here. And you're part of our conference. You're kind of a dual citizen, you know. And really, that's how we treat Marietta. They're part of our family.
Wow,
and
so
Ohio
like
has said that they'll do anything
Ohio
for them.
DW
and I talked to the president last week, and he said, pretty much, we're going to give you an open rein with finances, anything we can do to help you guys grow. But we're trying to prevent this in the future by education.
Amen.
So all of our pastors' meetings are constantly talking about how to improve and grow and change a culture into this culture of grace. We're spending this time here. Remember what I said, indoctrination. This is intentional. I've told you our intentions from the very beginning. We want to indoctrinate you to a culture of lifestyle of witnessing for Jesus Christ. Now, you have to go back and do the same thing. It's called duplication. You know, I don't have a problem with we must duplicate Christ because, I get the theological sides. I'm trained
sure.
in all that kind of stuff. But here's what I always do. I always talk about when we become a disciple, we have to duplicate ourselves.
That's right.
What discipleship
yes.
is. And the ultimate duplication we got to do is the lifestyle of Jesus. So that's what I'm going to be asking each one of you to think about. You come here this week and you have an experience, a relationship with Jesus Christ. You have a renewed experience. Now you have to go out and help others to duplicate that experience to someone else because
we reproduce what we are.
We have to reproduce what God has done in us, and that's called discipleship.
Amen,
the
brother.
Theological yes. A name for that is discipleship. So we have to go out and tell somebody about Jesus and help them to tell somebody, to help them to tell somebody, to help them tell somebody. I've said 100, if not 1,000 times, that 20 pastors will never reach 1.7 million people. I want to even take it a next step. Well, 80 will do a lot better, but 80 individuals will not be able to reach 1.7 million people either. So your job is going to go out and replicate or duplicate yourself again. It's not multi-level marketing. It's multi-level Jesus. So that's the process that we have to be in here. So that kind of answers. I'm glad you brought that up because we have all kind of churches that can get messed up. But if we're waiting for the fat pastor to be able to fix it, it's never going to be sufficient. We need 80 people to help the pastor fix it, and then we need the 80 people to get a duplication of this process. So we have next year 160 people that can help fix it. And pretty soon we don't have these problems anymore because, you know, you ever see that commercial? The guy comes in Texas to rob the diner, and he pulls out a gun, and it's a police convention. And you see this, and he just goes like this, right? Well, that's what we need in our churches with Jesus.
Amen.
And you're right, because we do reproduce what we are. You know, the Holy Spirit knows our hearts, right? Go ahead, Elizabeth.
I just, I don't want to forget the experience that we had yesterday, and that was healing the brokenness within us. And as we allow Jesus to heal the brokenness in us, then we can duplicate that, because that's what Jesus did when he was here on this earth.
Amen.
He helped to heal the brokenness in
that's
people
right.
and in different ways, in different areas. And so as we allow Jesus to come into our hearts and heal that brokenness that's in us, and we're real with Jesus, we meet Jesus in that safe place where he can heal us. He will teach us how to help people, bring them to Jesus, where Jesus can heal their brokenness as well, too. And so we do have to duplicate Jesus in that process.
Amen.
Thank you.
All right. Well, one thing, I don't know if Pastor Walter shared this with you, but when you get to the door and you knock on somebody's door or you call somebody or you're making contact with any interest, And within 10 to 30 seconds, they want to know three things. They want to know who you are, why you're there, and how long you're going to be there. You see, also people, like I already said, they don't want friendliness. They want a friend. That's why they need Jesus. That's why we all need Jesus. And that's why we have to be like Jesus. We have to imitate Jesus, and we have to actually be friends with one another, because they're not just interests, they're not just numbers, they're children of God. You're going to have to contact them daily by in-person text messages. You're going to have to use Facebook Messenger. You may have to use Instagram. You may have to use Snapchat. There's going to be different levels of communication depending on the person. You may have to visit them in person. You may have to visit them at their house or maybe just in public, but everybody is different. But also, some people don't want to be overwhelmed at first, and you will need to ease into these types of relationships. You see, I had a divine appointment in 2020. It was late 2020. We were getting, do you remember we were going to do that Mark Finley thing? We did the Daniel series? All right. Well, we did that on the video. That was actually very good for Point Pleasant because it was 8 days or 10 days long or however long it went. And that really helped build the church back up with the members who had fallen away. Well, the school, Parkersburg Academy, because I worked there as a teacher, physical education and music education. Well, the school closed due to COVID. And because it was closed, I actually left early that day. And I was up in Point Pleasant much earlier that day. I was there at like 11:30 or 12:30, and things were starting to warm up outside. It wasn't so cold anymore. And what was going on? Oh, no, this was probably before that, actually. I don't know, it was just a warm day, you know? And I remember pulling up to the church, and there was a gentleman standing, and I could see that he was back kind of behind the church building on the side, and he was probably doing something that, you know, a lot of us would not approve of. And you know what? I did. I got there, and he immediately picked up his grocery bags, and he started to walk kind of away, and I stopped him. And I said, "Where are you going?" Well, the reason I stopped him is I had been praying and praying and praying for God to send me new people. I said, "Send me difficult people. Send me people that smell like marijuana. Send me people that drink. Send me people that have addiction problems. Send me people that are judgmental. Just send me people so we can fill these pews and tell people about Jesus. And then we can go out into the community and tell people about Jesus there. Because each of us haven't been called to witness in our churches. We haven't been called to do that. No, we're not called to witness to a church. We are called to witness to our community. So I'm not the pastor of the Marietta Seventh-day Adventist Church. I'm not the pastor of the Point Pleasant Seventh-day Adventist Church. I'm the pastor of Point Pleasant. I am the pastor of the Marietta community. So this young man, he was drinking a beer, and I invited him inside. It was hot out. So we went inside. We cooled off. He didn't drink the beer inside, so settle down. All right? We put the beer in the fridge for him. And I gave him a ride home afterwards, too. And guess what? I got to meet his father. Well, the next day, the young man decided to come to the Daniel series. 8 nights in, he said to me, "I've never been to a church that goes to church every night." So then I explained to him what was going on. Just a young kid. What I saw in this young kid, I saw me. What I saw in his father, I saw the same relationship I had with my father. And I quickly knew why God sent me so close to Meigs County, Ohio. Well, Harley had to move away for a little while to Ohio, and then he ended up kind of falling away, but I kept in touch with him, and his dad started coming to church, and I found out his dad was a Jehovah's Witness, and we began a relationship, a friendship. I didn't care if he ever stepped foot in the church ever, but I was going to have a relationship because I actually cared about this human being and his health And he was all alone. He had no friends, really no family around there at all. Okay? So here's his son, hours away now. And finally his son moved back, and his son joined the church, and he got married, and his wife joined the church, and then his father joined the church, and it was a blessing. Amen? You see, we built a relationship, and this is a friendship that lasted a lifetime, because the father's name was Anthony Rhodes, and he passed away 2 weeks ago. He was the third person to join the Point Pleasant Church after reopening it. His son was the first or the second. You see, we have to make relationships that will last a lifetime if we can ever have people trusting us. Amen. He expected me to kick him off the property. But why? Jesus would have never kicked him off the property, would he? So for weeks, here I am, I was praying for those miracles, and God sent them. And a lot of times, people will just stop at the church there because it's one of the places you can get cell service. And I noticed that. So I got cards, and I started going up to the doors and knocking on their windows and asking them if I could pray with them and telling them, I just want to tell you about Jesus today. These people thought I was crazy, some of them. You see, that's what being a Christian is all about. You see, God has a reckless love for us, so why do we not have a reckless love to do His work? So we opened up an outreach facility down in Point Pleasant, and we've been having a lot of events, and I'd say, so it's downtown Point Pleasant, right across from the post office. And I'll tell you what gave me the idea. I was down in St. Mary's attending Chris Trent's meeting. And, you know, Point Pleasant's church is kind of out, you know, a few miles outside of town, right? So I realized the church had grew as much as it was going to grow there. And I realized we were going to have to hit the community. And we needed to hit the community hard. When I saw Chris do this meeting in this storefront, right, in St. Mary's, it hit me. We need a mission in downtown Point Pleasant. And I prayed about it, and I prayed about it, and I said, all right, God, if you want to make this happen, then you're going to come up with the funding, and you're going to show us where the building is. He gave us a building that was affordable right across from the courthouse. In downtown Point Pleasant, we see more than 15 non-Adventists a week with sewing classes, with painting classes, with addiction classes, with bridge events that I do through Voice of Prophecy. We're going to be doing evangelism meetings there. We're going to be doing all sorts of different outreach projects there. You see, this is something you can be doing in your church, and this is something we're going to be doing in Marietta. I have every intention of doing it if God provides the place. The funding is there. We got to have the right place. And that's up to God to do. Amen? And that's what we got to realize, is that we have to surrender our plans in today's culture to Jesus. So a lot of people, I found out, are afraid of church folks. Do you ever get that? Can you believe it? Because we love each other, right? So friendship is really key. Again, visiting is not enough because I said, again, you got to text, tweet, Instagram, and whatever is going to meet those people where they are at so they know that you are invested in a relationship with them, because some people don't even go out for coffee. Yeah, I said coffee anymore. Some people don't even go out to lunch or dinner anymore due to the pandemic. Sure, we see it more here, but that's not enough. Just doing stuff together isn't enough to communicate with them in every way possible. We have to communicate with them every day. Every day. We have to be praying for them all day long. These are souls, and we need to be pleading with God for these souls. These are precious souls just like you and me. And other people pleaded for your soul, so why will you not plead with God for other souls? Sometimes, 8 times out of 10, when you tell people about the events that are going on, they forget. In fact, I was like that too when I came back to the church. And I'd be so upset when I would miss prayer meeting, wouldn't I, Rich? And I'd forget it was going on a Wednesday night, you know, and I'd be so upset that I had missed that prayer meeting. I really would. But the point is, we need to be intentional in our follow-ups with today's culture and having a relationship. So when you have prayer meeting, you should be sending a text message out to every single member of the church that day, letting them know the prayer meeting is happening and what time it is, and you're looking forward to seeing them there. When Sabbath comes in on Friday evening, you need to remind them what time church service is the next morning, and you're looking forward to seeing them there, and you pray that they invite somebody else to come to church with them. When you have a painting event, when you have anything going on, and go ahead, Elder Tim.
Well, I just want to let you know, and you're thinking, do I have to type all these people in? No, we now have the availability, and we'll be the first conference that gets it all free. E-Adventist provides this service to us, and our clerks and our pastors can set it up, and they'll get a free number, and we can get somebody to send all these emails and text messages out automatically so it can happen every day. I get emails all the time. I go to Marietta because I live there, and I get these emails or these text messages. Don't forget potlucks tomorrow. Don't forget. You got this. Don't forget.
That's what he gets for going to my church.
Yeah, and I'm only a guest.
We're reaching the lost, amen?
But every single one of your churches can do that, and maybe you have to help your pastor do that. Maybe he doesn't know a little bit how to do it or whatever. But we had a presentation here that can be offered absolutely free to us, which normally costs money to get that service done. We have that capability to have that. How many here in this room would like to have a text message every time there's a prayer meeting?
In fact, when we do the social media training, I'm going to touch on some of that. And I'll even tell you about some of the pay services, because there are some differences in some of the pay services in eAdventist. And I love eAdventist. It's great, and it works really, really good. Did you want to say anything else, Elder Bailey? Okay, sure. All right, great. So let me see if I can find where I was here. You want to talk? I know where I'm at, but you can say something if you'd like. Well, although I did realize, I didn't think I was going to be able to cover the 2 hours, but you all have been so attentive, and you all have been really, really engaging, that in about 7 or 8 minutes, we're going to take a 10-minute break, and we're going to get to do this full presentation. I'm really excited because I have a lot more slides to show you, and I have a lot more to talk to you about. I mean, we're just kind of scratching the surface. And I'm really just scratching the surface today. There's so much more I could share with you. There's so many free resources out there. Do you know how many free evangelism series with PowerPoints and the notes that there are out there that are written by Seventh-day Adventists? Hundreds. But you have to look for them. You got to find them. And that's why we, as a conference, are building a resource center so you can get this free evangelism tools online. If you go to gcevangelism.com, they have 8 or 10 free evangelism series. I don't ever want to hear anybody say they can't put on an evangelism series, because all you need is the Holy Spirit. And if you hold that light, that's what you need. You need prayer. We need revitalization in our walk with God. Now, I'm not saying everybody's called to be an evangelist. That's not what I'm saying. But we are all evangelists when we are going out and telling others about Jesus Christ. That's called friendship evangelism. And that's what works in today's culture. These outreach facilities, these mission outreaches are popping up all over the country and all over the world, because people don't want to walk into a church building anymore the very first time they come back to Jesus. And a lot of times, we have to become friends with them. And again, I'm going to say something later, but they have to trust us. But I don't want to go ahead of myself. The point is, we need to be intentional in these follow-ups and having a relationship. We need to ask them about them. We need to see what's going on in their lives and how they are doing. Nobody does that anymore, do they? A lot of times they will just go ahead and pour themselves right out to you, and they are just waiting for somebody to ask them. A lot of times, too, when it's somebody that's not an actual interest, you can't go straight to Jesus, right? I know you want to, but honestly, the truth is, if you invite somebody to church and they don't come, three things are happening, and this is what I was building up to. One, they may have a church. Two, they are not interested. Or three, they don't trust you. So let me say it again. If you invite somebody to church and they don't come, number one, they may either already, write this down. Number one, they may already have a church. Number two, they're not interested in God at all. And number three, they don't trust you. My neighbors are most likely planning to join my church in Marietta, Ohio, and they can see the truth in the Bible. And why are they coming to my church instead of the Baptist church that they have went to their entire lives? Because the Holy Spirit is working, and they trust me, and we have a friendship and a relationship that has been built over a decade. You see, we need relationships, and God has built our relationship for over 10 years, and He has based it on trust, and we can do this with people we meet and build relationships, and as they eventually find out that you are a pastor and you begin to witness, they will have already seen that love of Jesus Christ, and you will present the gospel, and the Holy Spirit will work in a mighty way because they trust you. You see, we can't have unhealthy expectations, for sometimes the numbers we think we need are unhealthy. So we need to concentrate on who is in front of us and who is willing to be witnessed to in our leads list, and we need to pray for them. If you get rejected, archive them and move on, because there are plenty other interests out there. We need to build a friendship with them because they don't care about friendly. You have to become a part of their family. Brothers and sisters, that is the key to witnessing. For it is caring and loving and just being there sometimes, just like Jesus did. But we have to do it the way they do now. They may not be up for a visit today due to whatever anxieties are going on. So let them build up their relationship by text or phone. And trust me, when they trust you, the Holy Spirit will open up the doors. And remember, being friendly isn't what we are going to do, is it? We are here to build what? For eternity. And we have to reach people in another way. Also, people love to serve and get involved in helping other people, believe it or not. We told this group of leads we were opening an outreach facility, and they go out and clean the place up. And she wasn't even a member of the church yet, and she donated a brand new smart TV to the place. We had only been studying for about 7 weeks together. Her and her husband are both now a member of the Point Pleasant Seventh-day Adventist Church. Amen? Amen. You see, folks, we got to quit being so busy doing the wrong ministry and reach the culture where they are at. Amen? And Psalm 136 and verse 4 says right here, to him who alone doeth great wonders, for his mercy endureth forever. Amen? Amen. We're going to take a quick, short, we're going to take a break till 4 o'clock, and then we're going to come back in, and I'm going to do the second part of my presentation. Thank you all for being very attentive. Get a drink, stretch a little bit, use the bathroom, talk to each other, fellowship, and I'll see you at 4 o'clock. Amen? Hey, real quick, let's pray together. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this first part of this presentation. And I pray in a mighty way in the rest of this presentation, in the short while that we have, that you will say much to us and that we will be accepting of it. Pour out your Holy Spirit, Father. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.